All right, welcome everybody to Great Things at Great Tech, episode one. So this is the first episode of this podcast series that I introduced last week in the seed episode. And you know, in that episode, I talked about what this podcast was going to be all about. It's going to be about highlighting companies doing great things with great tech. And like I kind of alluded to in the first episode, it's not really a surprise as to, you know, who I'm choosing for the first cab off the rank. It was a company that I worked at for, you know, a really great 3.5 years before joining Veeam. And, you know, this is going to be an interesting kickoff because I know a lot about the company, but I've brought in Nikki Pereira, who is the Chief Technology Officer at Zettagrid. Nikki, how are you doing?
How are you going, Anthony? Hi, everyone.
Excellent. Good to see you again. It's been a while, but we try and keep up when we can. But yeah, look, I think what we wanted to do was just start and, you know, dive into a bit of the history as to, you know, how Zettagrid came to be Zettagrid. And then, you know, we'll rock through and talk a bit about some of the technology that you guys have leveraged to produce what is, you know, literally a great service in the infrastructure as a service space. So, you know, Zettagrid as a company at the moment, I'll get Nikki to add a little bit more color to this, but it's basically one of the leading infrastructure as a service companies in ANZ and, you know, probably now kind of spanning after some more expansion, APJ as a whole. So, you know, the company's got a really interesting history and like most companies, almost kind of happened accidentally. And I think, Nikki, we'll get to that, you know, when we get over. Yeah, we'll get to that when we get over the first bit of history. But Nathan Harmon is the, I guess, the founder and CEO of the company. Now, Nathan himself has got a really interesting history as a sort of leader in the IT space in Perth, Western Australia. I should also mention it's a Western Australian Perth company, which is where we're both from. So very proud and parochial to start with that. But, you know, Zeta had its roots back in 1997, actually. So when Nathan started a company called Harmon IT. And interestingly enough, Nikki, as well, I was trying to think back to Harmon IT because I always recognized the name when I was younger. And it was because I used to, when I was doing deliveries for my dad, delivering computer parts, monitors, and other components, I actually did deliveries to Harmon IT. I can remember because the name just stuck out, right? So, and did you join Nathan at Harmon IT? Were you there at the start?
Not at the start, no, but I came in towards, you know, when they were acquired by Marconi.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. And that, because that was done, and I think in 2000, well, actually before he got acquired, I guess the way that that company kind of got to that acquisition was that, you know, Nathan and the guys started, and it was a managed services company foremost. Let's just put that out there. It was started as a managed services company for IT. They had won a few IT outsourcing contracts, right? And I think Hammersley Iron was the first one that you guys won. Yeah. And then, you know, from there grew from a small staff to about 120. But then in 2001, Nathan actually sold that to Marconi, which is now Ericsson, I believe. And you guys, so as part of an acquisition, did you guys all transition across to Marconi? How was that?
Yeah, I mean, that was going from a, you know, a small tech company all working together into a global organization with, you know, processes and procedures and different ways of doing things. So it was certainly eye-opening and certainly, you know, this is the way you do things this way. And, you know, it, good and bad. I think we learned both.
A lot
of really good things. Yeah.
Interesting. So, yeah. So when did you guys, well, I know Nathan in 2004, Nathan started what would become Zeta Group, but at the time I think was Zeta Serve. So just talk a little bit about how that came to be. Cause I believe, you know, after a bunch of you worked at Marconi for a while, Nathan kind of said, hey, let's start up this new company called Zeta Serve. And just talk us through that a little bit. How that came to be.
Look, I think that happened towards, there was the dot-com crash, you know, so the bust and everything, when it went up in the air, including Marconi, they lost a lot of staff and so forth. Around the world, every IT company was actually affected. And we just loved the feeling of, you know, what we had before and wanted to do it again. So, you know, with our core expertise and core people and people who just loved learning new things, we started again.
Yeah, so yourself and my old direct boss, Nicholas Power as well, who's the Chief Operating Officer of Zettagrid today, he was part of that group as well, didn't he? So he came along and basically was there almost from the start. So you guys have been together for a while. That's awesome. It's a great family story, I think, in terms of the harmony of the company and the people. But so in 2004, you know, ZetaServe started, and from my understanding of ZetaServe at the time, again, much like Harman IT initially, was just really big in the managed services space and did a lot of desktop as a service.
All desktop services, packaging, you know, automation, like, you know, this is where it would lead to. You know, we filled and customer requirements, things that were just out of the space, gaps that they had, and we did smart things with clever people.
Yeah, you mentioned automation, and I guess this is where the ZetaGrid story kind of starts, right? Because from now, in that automation, mm-hmm. you guys hired a bunch of, I believe they were .NET developers, or basically Windows developers, to help automate the distribution and packaging of applications and desktops as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, more or less, yeah. I mean, there were application packages at the time, and they would have to use, you know, at the time it was the default next.
Yep.
But as we saw in application, everything's different, everything's customized, and different companies have different requirements. You had to do scripting, you know, and this is where it started off with VB scripting and then progressed further into, .NET and VB.
So started with VB, right? Okay, so real basic.
Yeah,
that makes sense now. And that in itself, to be fair, you know, that's a great example of what we're talking about here in terms of you leveraging a tech platform to do more and offer services, right? But I think where the story comes to the head is, you know, around about, I'm going to say, from memory, 2008, 2009, probably the idea for ZetaGrid came about. But do you want to just talk us through how ZetaGrid, you know, came and kind of was born out of that sort of space and when you guys actually started?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, right? So we're a services company doing projects, managed services. And then at the time we bought an ISP called Highway One. And people in the industry are asking, well, what are you, a service company? What's an ISP got to do with it? You know, and we really just love tech. We wanted to understand, play with hosting, deliver different types of services in different types of way. We had a company which we acquired and automated called Mbox, which was fax.
Mbox,
email to fax. So we had some understanding of, you know.
That's crazy in itself.
Yeah, the other way around. It was fax to email.
Yeah. Fax to email, yeah.
Yeah. But you know, that was a cloud service back then, and it wasn't really called cloud service because cloud didn't exist. So we had some understanding of how things worked. We had a network, we had automation, and they all sort of melded together, and we thought, all right, this cloud thing started to develop, let's put them all together, and ZetaGrid was born.
So ZetaGrid was born initially, we'll touch on the tech themes later on, but and the platform and partner and vendor themes. But I think, you know, ZetaGrid was born initially with, you know, leveraging VMware technology and what was vCenter at the time. And then, you know, probably, mm-hmm. you know, the early versions of vCenter were interesting, but still able to be leveraged by a managed services company to offer infrastructure as a service. But I know this answer because obviously I was around at the time, but the real game changer for you guys was definitely vCloud Director, wasn't it?
Absolutely. You know, and I think we made a decision on these guidelines, and it had to be multi-tenanted. It had to have an API, and it had to have a billing model to suit that type of a cloud type of growth.
Yeah. And it's funny at the time, as a side note, I remember because I wasn't working for ZetaGrid at the time. I was working for a competitor. And it was funny because I remember being approached by VMware before the VMware Cloud Provider Program even started. And they handed us this piece of software called vCloud Director as a beta. And they said, if you guys can get this working, it's going to lead to great things. You know, so I remember very vividly and I knew that you guys were the other ones who were in this race, mm-hmm. to become the first vCloud Director powered provider in ANZ. And from memory, I remember reading the CRN article where you guys basically beat us by a couple of weeks.
There were other companies out there that were on the betas, you know, they were making quite a bit of noise out there. And I think one of the things I wanted to do, I said, I wanted to be the first out there. Let's do whatever we need to do to get out there and just get that. Because as a smaller company, that type of publicity is great publicity for us. So, you know, we wanted to be out there and look at what we're doing, guys. We're doing some great things.
Yeah, and we'll get into it a little bit later on. But when you're talking about a platform like vCloud Director, which literally is almost the embodiment of what this show is about, just allowing you guys to leverage the skill set that you had developed, internally, get a platform, see the potential, fill a space, and then leverage that platform to grow a business. It's quite amazing, isn't it?
Yep, and then you earlier you said that's luck, but luck is a combination of all those things you said. It's like, being prepared, having those skills, those expertise, those companies available, and then it happens, and people from the outside goes, "Wow, you got lucky," but effectively we're ready. We had all.
Yeah, luck's relative, right? Luck is relative in a lot of ways, and it can be. It wasn't a derogatory term.
No, I don't know that.
But I think in some respects, all these things align, and that in itself is just the planets doing what they're doing to help that. But you need people, you need drive, you need a vision, which obviously Nathan and you guys had, and then you also need the technology to be able to carry that vision. So that's interesting. Mm. So 10, basically now 2010, started with a couple of zones or locations started in Perth, grew the zones to Melbourne and Sydney by the time I had joined in 2013. And now, where are you? I believe you've grown quite a bit more since I've left.
Yeah, so we then moved into Indonesia. So that was, we've got two zones in Indonesia. And then we then expanded very rapidly and quickly into Singapore, Brisbane and Adelaide.
Wow. So, okay. And that's why I was mentioning before the fact that you're not ANZ based anymore. You've got proper APJ presence. And I think one of the interesting technical points to that is that the formula hasn't changed in terms of how you deploy these zones, and the core technology that you use to basically bind everything together is still effectively the same.
Yeah, I mean the thing that has changed over the years is it used to be a person that was clicking the buttons and installing it and following directions and so forth, and every time we did something, we updated it, but it was different. And when we did Singapore, Adelaide and Brisbane, it was consistent, and we were able to deploy it completely in a completely automated fashion in 7 days. That's quite amazing, and just that feat itself.
And was that leveraging some automation tools that you guys?
Yeah. So we use Ansible, we use Packer, all the tools that you would see in a modern infrastructure as a code. Amazon and so forth.
Okay, so let's pivot a little bit and talk about, some of the core innovations and services that you guys brought to market and what, made that different to other competitors out there, because obviously there was a lot of guys trying to do the same thing at the time. But, what core innovations and services would you say stood you out from the rest?
Well, I think what we tried to do was, we tried to make things simple and our vision was to simplify a complex world, and it's a very motherhood type statement, but we tried to be true to that. So what we did is, to be simple, we wanted to use the vCloud Director multi-tenancy, portal. And two things we did is we created a UI and interface. We thought, to do that, you need to make it nice and easy for someone to provision and bill a service.
That's your own web interface, right? So even though you have vCloud Director, which has its own interface, you still decided to make a call to create your own interface.
Because with every great technology, there's gaps, right? And the gap was, if somebody wants to deploy vCloud Director and there wasn't a way of, going from A to B and provisioning it and billing it, how are they going to do it? So we thought the easiest way would be to automate that. Somebody goes onto a website, and is able to say, this is the resources I want, and hit go. Now, that bit didn't exist in vCloud Director at the time.
Yeah.
But being a small group of people working on this, we couldn't afford, if you're trying to scale and to run all these zones, we couldn't afford to have people clicking and setting it up each time. Yeah. And we wanted that to be consistent as well, because then you wouldn't have problems in terms of support.
So how many employees did Zeta Grid have to start? And where is that now?
So we had three to start.
Great.
It was three to start off with. So it was somebody from the application team, Matt Quinn, somebody from the projects server team, Doug Yute, and myself.
There you go.
And crazy. And then we brought on a salesperson to then, obviously we've got great tech, we need to sell it, right? So so how do we do that? So that grew up, and now we've got, let's say, about 30 people in DataGrid. And that still seems like a small number, but I guess it's about scale and efficiency, and we're always trying to make that number even better. So if it's one to 1,000 machines, we want to make it 1 to 2,000 machines, and that's where I believe innovation comes up. You've got to put
And I guess what you've done is you've leveraged the platform to be able to allow you guys to scale out without having to increase the actual back end operations as well, which is all part of it, which is something that a multi-tenant platform should allow you to do. I guess from a procurement, like that console that you built, that to me is the gold, because that's the thing that ties everything together. Like, you guys just don't do VMware vCloud Director, and that's your virtualization platform, but you've also obviously leveraged other technologies to supplement that. And can and you talk us through all the other ones? And believe me, you're talking about all of them. We're agnostic here.
Well, I'll talk about one specific one because it was a good story, and maybe it led on to other things at this particular company, which you might know very well. So we had virtual machines, and you think, well, what do we need to do with these virtual machines? We've got to back it up. So we talked to a company called Veeam at the time, and why we liked Veeam is because they had an API. It was developing at the time, and they had a good billing model. So it was, if a customer buys something, we pay for a license. And that's where we need to be. We can't take risk of buying a whole heap of hardware and so forth. So that was the first start. And at the time, Veeam's target market was into the enterprise single tenant type instances. And we just thought, oh, actually, if this got these APIs, there's a potential of building something multi-tenant in this. So we went away after, Veeam was like, oh, I'm not sure you can do it in our current existing model. We went away and went, I think we can. And we used portal to effectively be the multi-tenancy. And in the back end, we still delivered single tenant stuff in the back end. So we kept true to the software, but the portal was what we did it in the first place.
So the platform was good, reliable technology, but it had some holes and some shortcomings for the multi-tenancy perspective, because at that point in time, probably there wasn't anything specifically being developed for cloud providers like you guys, but you guys managed to do some great things with the technology that you had and actually elevate that to serve the purpose, which is offer the service to your customers.
And I think that's been one of our strategies, because we're not a giant in terms of look at our great innovation, but the software companies and the vendors we deal with are in that space. So when we can deliver an innovation, they could say, actually, this could trigger something off in the future, let's push that off. And so we can see some of our innovations, some of our thoughts in the products and services they are today. That's sort of where we really like to play.
So just obviously, name the other sort of guys out there that you're using in terms of vendors and the technology. I mean, I'm thinking networking, other backup companies, you guys are doing. So who else are you using there?
So our main stack is Dell EMC. Good tech, reliable technology, good distribution model. We've got Juniper networking, and Zerto is our other DR product that does the higher end product. But that's the main and VMware on top of that. So VMware has grown as you can see over time into there wasn't virtual networking, now there is virtual
NSX,
networking.
Right?
There wasn't SD-WAN. Yes, NSX.
Yeah. Actually, NSX is an interesting one, because I obviously know the story, but because I was probably right in it with you doing that thing at the time. But I mean, NSX was another great example, I think, about how the technology underpinning it was fantastic, and you guys obviously saw the potential, but it wasn't quite there. So what did you guys do to be able to get it into market and make it a product?
Yeah, well, I guess the first thing is the view of the companies where we're working from. So normally, what they start off by looking from an enterprise top-down approach. They try and deliver a single tenant to an enterprise for a reason. You know, there's a lot of money in that space to get it right there. The way we looked at it was, well, how do we offer this as a value service to all our virtual data center customers? Yep. And we had to package it up and say, well, let's start off with it. It had a plethora of features, right? So let's just start off with the most basic feature, which was an edge device.
Yeah,
edge gateway. An edge gateway, and we had other edges in there. And again, because they were managed and you had to configure them and do things to them over time, it became hard to manage. So when VMware came up with this product, we thought this would be a great way that we could manage something consistently across multiple zones, you know, again, and using the VMware technology. It's all built in, right? So that was really went to VMware and said, this is how we want to operate, this is how we want to work with the product, you know, and VMware was kind enough to share that vision with us and say, all right, let's try this. And eventually it came up with an NSX offering for cloud.
And NSX was an interesting one as well, because if there's one thing that NSX had, it was a very, very strong and robust API, which for you guys meant that you could, you know, use your own in-house skill set to tap into that API and almost mold it for something that it wasn't really meant to do. And I think that's like the heart of innovation, right? Trying to see a product, it's got obviously great characteristics, but again, filling those gaps. It's been a recurring theme that we've done. Zeta Grid has been great at filling those gaps in those technologies.
Yeah. I think it's filling those gaps, and it was also trying to get that train started, you know. So we did a lot of work in that portal, and a lot of that now we've had to throw away. But if you look back at it, that if we didn't do that, we might not have to, you know, the train would have been harder to push and get started. And you know, so I think it's something that we had to do at the time. Would we do it now? No, we wouldn't. We would use, you know, what the vendors have done. They've got all the development effort and R&D, but their focus is into the service providers. Their focus is into vCloud Director.
Because they've caught up, right? I mean, that sort of tech stack has caught up, because now, you know, especially from VMware's point of view, they understand that there is a growing, well, there's always been a market, but they never really expected it to grow probably as quickly as it did, or they thought they could use other tool sets to that. So they've kind of developed a product themselves to get it to a point where other people can use it. But I've always been of the opinion that if you spoon feed too many people, you end up with the same product effectively. So every provider would be the same. There'd be no differentiating factor. And I believe that in the service provider space, that what makes a great service provider is one that innovates and stands out on their own feet, right? And you guys have certainly done that amongst others.
Thanks, yes. So, I mean, yep, go.
Yeah, I was gonna say, so with that, I mean, it leads into the question about how did you guys, I mean, we've talked about it a little bit, but what specifically do you feel, like how did you disrupt the market? How did Zeta Grid disrupt that market initially?
Well, I mean, I would go back to a whole Sun Tzu, you know, Art of War proverb, and he said, go where your enemies are not, you know, in war. Your
I've heard that here, a couple of times in the last couple of weeks,
actually. Right? Really? And I use that, really. So if everyone was doing this, we did that. So in that instance, it was, well, people were deploying things manually. Well, let's do it, you know, through automation. People were billing things incrementally. Let's do things as a single plan offering per month. People were doing things not with APIs. Well, let's do things with APIs. You know, so just doing things opposite, and that, you know, as I said, that leads to innovation. Well, how are people doing things? If people are doing things over and over again, you're not going to get innovation, because people know what the next step is. But there's no point in innovating something that people don't want either. So you have to identify the gaps. And I think we've been good at identifying the gaps and working with great tech to identify gaps and join those tech together with, you know, what you would call it nowadays, you would call it integrations.
Yep. Interesting. And so once, you know, you guys start to innovate, once you start to disrupt and once you start to become popular and successful in the market, I think the challenge then becomes for technology companies, how do you continually innovate? So how have you guys chosen to internally disrupt yourselves to continue innovation? What's pushing you guys now, 10 years later, to continue innovating?
Well, I mean, that's it's a difficult one, really, because, yeah, you actually have to keep, if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, you're not going to get any results, right? It's just going to be the same as you had previously. So continually looking at where we are, where our products are, how can we, you know, as I said, how do we grow larger? How do we scale? How do we get more products in that space? For example, in that backup space, you know, lots of different products are there, and we realize that customers want to have a journey through that, and we can't say use this product because a customer might be in different stages of that. So let's find different products that will fit that journey for a customer, make things easy, you know, the whole simplify the customer's experience, make it simple and understanding for a customer to understand billing, easy yeah. to use tools for automation. You know, that sort of, you'll always find gaps, and it's just a question of how many gaps do you find and whether that's cost effective to work on. And so we will continually talk to our customers, get feedback from the customers,
yeah.
and sometimes you still make some guesses. You can't just sort of say this is what the general market is saying and this is what Gartner's saying, because they normally say it after it's been established, right? So you got to make some calls to say we think DR is going to be a great product. You know, when we looked at Zerto and Veeam, they were back in the infancy and they weren't at the tier they are now. So that was a call that we said we think that's where the market is going. They're going to want to do these things, and now we're seeing this is where the market is going. The question is, were we too early in saying that? You know, so the timing was
5 years to get that space.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got to sort of look at that. And that's sort of something we learned in our things, to say, well, there's this point of MVP. Let's get something, put it in there, let it simmer to a point of, okay, this looks like it's a good product. Now let's expand on that. Versus spending all your time on that product and getting it to a point where you spent money and effort. And it does get to there eventually, but, you know, is it worth it?
Yeah, so a lot of I guess R&D efforts still going on behind the scenes, searching for that next great technology partner, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the interesting thing, what we're seeing is there's that, you know, and you've heard it, the pendulum of decentralized and centralized. You know, we've seen it with the hyperscalers in the cloud. We've seen it with client servers, and now it's coming back with people are running servers based on latency, based on conditions in the economy, based on things needing to be local. You know, more than ever, things are needing to be local for the reasons of transport. We can't all get on a plane and hop to somewhere else. We've got to, yeah. you know, run things locally and so forth. And you know, we're seeing things like cryptocurrency and, you know, in the decentralized market. So we're seeing those changes. And we're seeing a lot of them now starting to come together. So VMware have looked at serverless computing. We're looking at SD-WAN. We've got the apps catalog coming with VMware as well. So it's all the ideas are getting centralized to a degree, or, you know, the vision is being consolidated. And yeah. we're now trying to, well, how does that mean to get from A to B?
Yeah, cool. So, you know, leading on with that, so what makes a great technology partner from your perspective?
Well, I mean, it's somebody that meets with those three criteria. You know, they're multi-tenancy, they can understand where it's going, they can understand from a service provider model. And I think that's really important, because service provider is the place, I believe, where everything is coming from and we're really going to be pushing the business. They have an API understanding, so people can extend the functionality. So vendors would have basic functionality, and customization would happen based on different customer sets and different markets that you may be in. And so you can customize that to your liking, and the billing model. That means the risk appetite of the vendor is aligned with us. So when we bill a customer, you get paid. So therefore, we're both in line to say, all right, well, how do you build more customers? You know, let's build it together, versus you buy a piece of hardware and good luck, guys, we'll do some funding for you, and hopefully you can sell something to cover your hardware costs.
So partnerships and engagement from the vendor or the partner is important as well, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And because, you know, we're not a multi-global marketing organization, we would lean on the partner to help us as well, to say, well, you know, you've got the expertise in the market, you understand the trends, and you're getting all this data, what does it mean for us? So we really make decisions on data. You know, what happens here, where things are going, what can we do with what we're given to change.
Okay. And, you know, starting to wrap up, but the final question I wanted to ask you is, you know, what makes Zeta Grid stand out from the competition? What's the thing that sets them above?
Yeah, I mean, I think we like to simplify the customer experience, and, you know, that's something we believe in, and we want people to come in and have a look and try it. You know, we believe that we make the billing understandable, and you know, it's a fixed price. We have the automation. It's fast go to market. We're focused on the channel, so the channel does the end users managed services. We're supporting them. They maintain the customer relationships. They get margins based on that. And then from a tech perspective, we're all local. You get access to our experts. You get access to our pre-sales and sales. You get access to our, you know, our escalation guys. We're all here and here to help you for your particular problem. You know, and to tech into, you know, edge computing, networking, pedigree, MPLS, single throat, to choke, you know, that space. So there's lots of things in there. And if you say, what's the value prop, it's going to be, what is your requirement and where do these things fit into it? But, you know, these things we truly believe, and I think we're, you know, proof's in the pudding. Try our systems, look at it, and see, does it fill the gaps that you have?
Yeah. Well, you've certainly just grown, and, you know, it's a 10-year-old company. It's hard to believe that, you know,
it's
10 plus, isn't it? It's gone very quickly. But, you know, you guys, so let's just recap a little bit. So you guys, infrastructure as a service company, you know, offer virtual servers, virtual data centers, backup DR, built with great technology partners. So we've got VMware, we've got Veeam, we've got Zerto, we've got Dell. Who else am I missing? Juniper from a networking perspective. Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, you've kind of partnered with some of the bigger names out there. And, you know, basically, I think that's a great way to lessen the risk as well, in terms of understanding that these vendors offer the great technology platform that you guys have got the skill set to build off. And I guess that's where you guys are, where you are. So it's a credit to you guys. And, you know, Zeta Grid's a great example of a company that, for me, does great things with great technology. Mm. It's kind of almost the genesis for this whole podcast, right? And it's why I wanted to start out with you guys, because I realized that when I was doing work within the company, is that we can't do this without these other vendors. You know, it's just impossible. And, you know, we were never going to be the guys that were going to create those ground platforms, not those core innovators out of Silicon Valley or wherever it might be, right? I mean, that's their job. Absolutely. That's to create the platform. And then there's a whole group of companies, which we're going to go into as this podcast sort of gets legs and gets more episodes. We'll unearth a lot of these companies like Zeta Grid that are just doing great things with great tech. So, yeah, thanks, Nikki, for, you know, spending the time to talk about Zeta Grid and, you know, what the company is all about and how you've leveraged the technology. There'll be some show notes. The show notes will have a link to Zeta Grid. It'll have a link to some of the services and technology that you guys leverage, and just some general information about Zeta Grid in there. My name's Anthony Spiteri, and that is episode 1 done for Great Things with Great Tech. Thanks, Nikki.